right there, folks. Welcome to the Local Truth. Hound Dog and Abel Aiken. Hound Dog ain't here this morning. Hound Dog under the weather. He sent me a note at 2 a.m. saying I ain't gonna be there. That's okay. I'm here. Life and death vote. Okay, buddy. Well, there's going to be a vote Thursday, I guess, at the county commission. And the three new fools that have been elected there, I'm using the word fool advisedly. I know one of them is, but they're crowded together. Now they're going to, let's see what they're going to do here. All right. Let's get it down here. Firefighters and emergency medical technicians responded to the Jefferson County Commission meeting room last week for what they consider an emergency. The lack of adequate staffing at a time when more calls for aid are coming in. Ryan Napier, a firefighter with the Jefferson County Emergency Services Agency, urged the Jefferson County Commission to earmark money to hire more EMTs. Napier told commissioners he isn't, quote, a numbers guy, end quote, but wanted to bring a bit of humanity into the funding debate. When I leave home in the morning, I have two kids and a wife. I tell them every day I love them because I don't know if I'm going to make it home. We need staffing. We need extra help, and I beg you to do something about it. But, however, three, Peter Onoshko, Caleb Wayne Hudson, a man who can't spell, and Josh Compton, these are all three, Trumpy people, elected to the county commission. Folks, okay, if this is what you really want, okay. They plan to okay a budget that includes a $5 discount in the county's $40 ambulance fee. The change would give the county $100,000 less for services, even as firefighters and other emergency professionals warn that the county's needs are on the rise. Vote comes Thursday morning. Oh, yeah, okay. Well, let's see. That's a vote to kill people. I mean, if the ambulance doesn't come and you need it, hey. Oh, you can get on it for $1,000. I ain't got $1,000. Well, I'm so sorry. Anyway, that kind of thing. I don't know. What do you say? I mean, with people who pass laws that they know are going to have that impact, just to, you know, put a little change back in their pocket. I mean, what do you call that? How's that different from murder? Or accessories to murder? How is that? I'm not seeing the big difference there. I'm trying to find a moral difference. I don't see it. I don't see any. It's the same, you know, narcissistic, to hell with them. It's all about me. You know, guy that likes to do a cannonball in your hot tub. Yeah. Right. Anyway, life and death vote Thursday morning. That's this morning. At the Jefferson County Commission. I advise people to go check it out. All right. Make your views known. You know, I mean, oh, man. What if everybody that voted for these fools got put on a list? Don't send the ambulance to your house. I mean, we could just start playing this giant tit-for-tat game, you know, everywhere. Hey, you did it to me. I'm going to do it to you. You say your house is on fire? Too bad. Well, what side are you on in that debate? I'm sorry, you're on the wrong side. Your house can continue to burn. Yeah. But if it's my house, what? Yeah. Right. You know, I mean, it's, here we go. All right, we're going to leave that little local news here. And since Hound Dog is not here, I'm going to have him speak for himself here. And this is a story called A Single Note of Folly. And named, of course, after The Folly, which is located just up the road here. You can get there from here. I ain't going to tell you exactly how, but, you know, if you follow the rumors, you'll get there. Might take you a while if you don't know what you're doing. Anyway, after Rooster, otherwise known as the Celestial Mechanic, once repaired the car of the President of the United States and also the President's brother's, a NASCAR winner, and the President's mother's farm equipment, and after he had them in what his good partner, Hound Dog, described as ready for fucking space travel condition, after he had been feted and thanked and rewarded and praised for his indeed celestial mechanical talents, he disappeared. And no one except Hound Dog knew what became of him for years and years. A rooster lived in a mountain. And whenever people did find him and ask him to teach his philosophy, he would mumble a few polite words and introduce them to Hound Dog, who could talk a chicken into tenders. But soon Rooster and Hound Dog, escaping fame and harassment, would move to another deeper part of the mountain where they could be less easily found. Now, Rooster was the first American and only the second since Shakespeare in recorded human memory in the entire world to master folly. He understood every joke and its essence, which included a share of every serious thought as well. And from this, he composed a philosophy of the primary elements, hammers, nails, woods, sands, wind, and fire, of which Hound Dog provided a steady supply. And for years, Rooster meditated loudly upon these things. Indeed, incessantly did he meditate upon them until the contradictions were resolved, one following the other, and materialized and rematerialized as an evolution of ever more exquisite tools born again, each generation of tools quieter, more silent, less present than the ones before, until a perfect silence of creation remained, refined to a single note. Well, a succeeding president had heard about Rooster and sent a message asking him to travel to the Capitol to explain his philosophy for his own edification and for that of the public at large. Well, Rooster declined, but sent Hound Dog, who stood before the president in silence. He then produced a flute, carved with more grace and mystery than Ray Bradbury's Illustrated Man. Drew it from his jacket and blew a single note of creation. Whereupon, he completely disappeared. And we're going to return here to a little bit of harmonica train here, okay? All right.
I'm a stranger here, just old in your town. I'm a stranger here, just old in your town. Well, because I'm a stranger, everybody wants to dog me round. Gonna write to my daddy, send me my railroad fare. Gonna ride home to daddy, send me my railroad fare. If he don't send it, I'll be fine walking.
Well, welcome back here to Abel Lincoln and Hound Dog. Hound Dog ain't present. I told a hound dog fable, though. All right, so the Republicans are going to cut ambulance services. And apparently just to line their own pockets, they don't want to pay the existing tax. So they're going to put some money back in their pockets while some people don't make it to the hospital. I just let that one just go where it is, where it goes. Okay. Yeah. Now just put yourself, however, in the mind of a returning veteran from the land of eternal conflict, Afghanistan. Or eternal corruption, Iraq, or whatever kind of hole a situation in Syria might be. And he finds that his mama is dead because the ambulance service couldn't get her to the hospital. And he finds out that these three foolish-looking dudes, one of them looks like a guy that'd be shooting. I can't even say it. It's unbelievable. Yeah. Okay. Oh, man. Just get your blood going. Peter Onesko. Caleb Wayne, I can't spell Hudson. And Peter Compton, you know, who looks youthful, almost baby-faced. Yeah. Three white men. Oh, man. So we're going to cut county services when they've been asking that they need more. Okay. I got to think of a good tactic on that one. And that's the only... and also, here's another one. Here's a testimony of Antonio Ramirez. Lived in Jefferson County for 29 years. Not surprised to hear a man in a pickup truck call out to him recently as he walked along Washington Street. I waved back and I said, hi. And then I saw he was insulting me, saying, get out of my country, said Ramirez, born in Mexico City, but an American citizen for more than 20 years. So while racism is nothing new, Ramirez says that in the past year, bigots seem more willing to lash out at him because of his ethnicity. A change, he said, started during Republican Donald Trump's presidential campaign. Such a shift stands to have a big effect in Jefferson County, where a Hispanic population has increased from 4.7%, it says here, to, let's see what the increase is on page A10 of the journal. Let's see if their editor got the page numbers right. Went from 4.7 in 2010 to 5.6% in 2005, so it's growing population. Because so many local Hispanics work on farms and in the horse industry, anxiety in the Hispanic community grew as word spread that Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents on March 7 detained several employees from stables at the Hollywood Casino in Charlestown. So-called ICE officials said 42 people had been arrested between February 27 and March 10. Ramirez said he finds himself trying to avoid being alone in public, so he does not draw any unwanted attention. We've got to stick together, he says. Growing anxiety among Hispanics also likely to be creating stress for young people. Jefferson County Schools also has most Hispanic students of any county in West Virginia, said Superintendent Bondi Shea Gibson. Yeah. There you go. There you go. Okay. It's bad news, pal. Bad news. I'm not even going to go to the national news. That was just the local news. Those two horrible stories. Hispanics living in fear. And the poor don't get to ride the ambulance as much. Trying to think of a thank you card I could send to the dickheads that did this. Trying to think of one. I may come up with one. All right, we're going to... do a little different kind of music here. I'm feeling a little sour on it now. I hope Hound Dog don't mind. I really don't. I really hope he don't mind. But It's just almost more than I can bear. So I'm going to try to get out of the mood here if I can. But I'm going to play this, you know, Ballad of a Soldier, Leon Russell, Mark Benno tune. I got it from Rooster, about whom I was talking a while ago. And well, I don't know. This is written right during the middle of Vietnam. In case y'all forget what happens, you stick your foot in a pile of shit that don't belong there.
When I was just a young boy, I played with swords and guns, and I dreamed of the day I'd become a soldier and kill all of the enemies. My country tells of thee, I sing this anthem sadly, won't you hear me? I watched the cannons blazing on the giant silver screen. The swastikas were burning and the hero was me. The general gave the order, gladly I obeyed. But the movie faded quickly all at once today. And now I stand alone with the charges made. Dogs that live on the highway walk on three legs. Gonna learn to slow to get the message. Just like the Indians in the early days. Battle lost and won, yet it still goes on. It's just another battle for us.
Hey, welcome back here to the Abel Eakin and Hound Dog Show. And I got a little note here from him, Mr. Ray Smock of the Bird Center here in Shepherdstown, West Virginia. Got a hot tip. I'm going to share it with you. House Intelligence Committee screws the pooch, otherwise known as fucking the dog, or a monkey fucking a football. Anyway, and ignores the separation of powers. Then he runs down to the White House and punches a tar baby and gets tar all over him that won't wash off. Now, the phrase screw the pooch, for that matter, fucking the dog and the monkey fucking the football, come from the space program and means a terrible mistake of some sort. The chairman of the House Select Committee on Intelligence, Darren Nunes, Republican from California, just screwed the pooch, or fucked the dog, or was a monkey fucking a football, big time. He just revealed that members of Trump's campaign and White House staff, and possibly Trump himself, were captured on surveillance, perhaps accidentally, but legally, by government agencies during a FISA warrant, that's a secret court warrant, related to an investigation unrelated to the Russian probe. A warrant related to an investigation unrelated to the Russian probe. This occurred after the election in November and may have extended into January of this year. These accidental captures of data were apparently distributed to various intelligence agencies and not purged as incidental contacts. Okay, this is a breaking story, and I, meaning Ray Smock in this case, have no way to know the details on the exact or the exact context other than what is in news reports or on TV. But here's what Ray says. This is more in the form of a question than I'll put this way. What in hell is the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee doing releasing information to the public about an ongoing investigation. An investigation not related to his committee, supposedly, that originated with a FISA warrant. FISA warrants and investigations are, under such warrants, are not supposed to be bantered about in public. This release of information related to a FISA warrant is very troublesome, whatever the source. Second question, why did Chairman Nunes brief Speaker Paul Ryan, the press, and then run down personally to the White House to tell President Trump? Well, third question, why did Chairman Nunes fail to inform the Democratic members of his own committee until the whole thing was in the public after he went to the White House? What was he smoking? This is very bizarre behavior for an Intelligence Committee chairman. More than bizarre. He just revealed his total partisanship and his unfitness to lead any kind of investigation related to the president. He violated the separation of powers by running down to the White House to personally blab to the president when members of the president's team are under investigation by his committee. The chairman may have thought that he had evidence that would prove that Obama had tapped Trump at Trump Tower. And he may have gleefully thought he could exonerate at last his president and prove Trump's tweets about wiretapping are true. Trump immediately said that he felt exonerated. Chairman Nunes may have disqualified himself from the Russian investigation by his cavalier and dangerous lapse of judgment. But here's an even worse speculation. Maybe he did this on purpose to undermine his own committee's work. This could set back or completely derail the Trump investigation. It could play beautifully into Trump's own hands. Well, I've done a lot of speculating in this post, says Ray. A lot of it may turn out to be wrongheaded after a few more days of reporting and analysis by the press. We shall wait further enlightenment. But regardless of what new details may emerge, we need a full explanation. Why is the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee blabbing to the press and the president when the only motive seems to be a premature exoneration of Trump about matters and investigations that we are not privy to and shouldn't be at this point? I mean, come on. All right. Of course, the Democrats may start calling for an independent investigation. They probably will, since this one is tainted, but that will drag things out too. There won't be any investigation, which will, I'm sure, please, you know. But on the subject of a monkey fucking a football, first time this I ever heard this saying was on a construction site where I continued to hear quite regularly. Basically, it means fucking something up, you know, like fucking the dog is a New England version of it. Okay, I'm trying to do something that may require a little bit of skill, experience, or coordination, and fumbling around with it and not getting it right. Picture a monkey all excited trying to get a hold of a football so he could hump it. For example, use an example. When my wife was trying to change her wiper blades, she looked like a monkey fucking a football. There you go. Okay. Anyway, we'll leave that subject now for my return. to a another parable, a rooster and hound dog. And that's going to be our close today for this show. This one's called The True Path. Just before the rooster passed away, hound dog, also known as the Oracle of Folly, visited him and said, "Shall I lead you on?" Well, rooster replied, "No, I came here alone, and I go alone. What help could you possibly be to me?" The hound dog answered, and he said, "Well, if you think you really just come and go, perhaps that is your confusion. Let me show you the path on which there is no coming and no going, and neither in nor out to boot." And with his words, Hound Dog had revealed the path so clearly that Rooster smiled and passed away.
Thank you. cool.
Yeah.